Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for hitting play on the Holderness Family Podcast.
That's so high energy. And we have a question about that I'll get to in a second.
Okay.
We are answering questions from our community. We put this out on Instagram. Give us a follow over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got real creative with the name of our account. It's the Holderness Family. You know, we have thought about just changing everything to Penn and Kim.
Right.
Because the Holderness Family makes it sound like we're one of those people that, like,
I think about the Mandrell sisters or the Osmonds.
Or right. Just like, or the Partridge Family, where they all sing and dance. But it's really just like us.
Right. Our kids have not necessarily become full-time social media creators. They have their own lives, of which I'm very jealous. Yes. They have fun. They have fun youth lives. youth lives.
We are nailing this today. Anyway, this is our podcast, and it's our very favorite thing we do. So thank you for subscribing and leaving a review. And that just kind of, there's like a magic algorithm machine that, like, when you leave a review, it kind of helps other people find it. So we thank you.
Yeah.
We love to do these Q&As because I'm constantly amazed about the creativity of your questions. And we got so many good questions that maybe this is, you know, we'll have enough to kind of go on for a while. But
do you have any questions for us? Here is where we answer them. We will try our best to get to as many questions as we can.
I forgot that we had a question song. I'm so sorry.
You're fine.
But you guys had questions for us. So sweet Nancy Joy asked, are you as animated in real life as you are in your podcast and videos? So when you got very joyful in the intro, that's what reminded me of that question. Penn 1000% is... It is, I think that is the feedback I most get after people meet Penn is, oh my gosh, he is the exact same person. Like, we just, he's just going throughout life and we happen to hit record in 3 minute segments. He is the exact same person. I probably am a little more animated on videos than I am in real life, I would imagine.
Yeah. Do you think that animated is code for like a bit much?
Yes. And okay. But I honestly, like, I'm not bothered by a bit much, because was it Taylor Swift or somebody who said, if I'm a bit much, go find less or something? That is the best thing about the internet. If we are not for you, oh my gosh, it's so exciting that you're gonna find somebody else.
I will say, like, I am animated when I first meet somebody, I think. But once you get to know me, like, you're going to see Slug Pen. Slug Pen is, and everyone with ADHD has slug versions of themselves, which just like shut down and literally will like stare at a TV screen or read a book or just kind of like just need some time to recharge. Cause that's how we work. Mm-hmm. That's how the hunters worked in the Hunters and Gatherers, right? Like, they spent days like super focusing and being highly energetic and then like killing an animal. And then they would rest for 2 weeks.
But do you know that most of the food sources came from the gatherers? not so much the hunter.
Yeah, we weren't very good at it, I don't think.
So you mentioned ADHD. I'm going to ask a question from Amanda Rosie 89.
Okay.
How do you build up confidence with ADHD?
Yeah, so that answer has changed over time. Mm-hmm. I think it used to be seeking out what my superpowers were, harnessing them and being great at them, right? Like finding something that you really care about and is of personal interest and is new and attacking that, because that's what people are great at with ADHD. And that's a good way, I think, that's a good way to do it. I think a great way to do it is attacking those things that you don't like doing. Like, I build confidence when I realize, oh, I can check off a list. I can clean a house. I can't, like, you know what a big thing for me to do is like a mundane, like, toilet cleaning. I know that sounds crazy, but when I, because I don't like the idea of doing, it's mundane, it's ADHD, it's stupid, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then I clean it and it looks really clean. And I have this like little hit of dopamine, like, I can do this. I am not an invalid. I'm able to actually, or to like finish and pay attention to an entire conversation and listen and ask good questions. Mm-hmm. But like being able to perform in those things that you're supposed to have a deficit on has helped me build confidence.
I would also say the same goes for anxiety. That I do think the way I build confidence and my ability to do something is by that, I think they call it exposure therapy. Just the act of doing it.
Yeah.
And I think I have more anxiety before an event, which is normal, but the more I can put myself out there and do things, the more confidence I have. So it's just exposure and just actually doing the work of it.
You're going to have some exposure tonight. That's a big event for you. And it's like, by the time you guys listen to it, you'll have already been there. So I'm not spoiling anything because it's already happened, but you're going to be in a very social environment tonight.
It's the mixtape tour. It's New Kids in the Block and Salt-N-Pepa, which
is you can't miss that.
I mean, so, the girls, the ladies of the HFAM team are going out for ladies night. Nice. No, I don't mind. That's the thing is like, you paint, like, I think introverts and people with anxiety get a bad rap. Like, we like people.
I know. I'm just telling you, you're going to get some exposure tonight.
Yeah. But that's not something I'm super anxious about, because it's not like I'm on stage. And you know, the thing I'm really most upset about though with this is COVID numbers in our area are up by like 55% or something like that. It's one of those things where that's an exaggeration to say most people I know. Many people I know have COVID right now, and our kids are starting school soon. So I just want to, I just want to make it so they could start school before we deal with COVID. So I'll wear a mask tonight at the concert, which is fine. It does not bother me to wear a mask at all. So it's not, but the problem I'm going to have is that Salt-N-Pepa they're not going to know that I know all the words to their song.
Right. They're not going to
see me sing along. And that is just really like, they need to know that I know all of the words to all the songs. And so I'm a little sad. I may like pull my mask down for Shoop. Yeah. Anyway. You go ahead. You ask a question.
Okay. Sorry, I was on another one. Okay. What is something you wish you had known or done in your first year of marriage? Thank you to Emily Rice Bagley for that question.
I think our first year of marriage was not as hard because we shared an apartment. We lived together for the 9 months before. Mm-hmm. That first 9 months of living together was very hard.
Yes.
But then once, that's what they say. I think they say the first year of marriage is the hardest.
Because for like the traditional, I'm moving in right after we get married.
Traditionally, you're moving in, maybe not anymore. I don't know what the tradition is right now. I think living together was really hard. And I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Well, let me think about that. What do you think?
My answer is I would have gone to counseling. I think, and maybe that's, we can share that answer, but I think we had solved some of those problems that you described from living together for those 9 months before, but there are still so many problems. Like, you're still building trust in that person when you're first getting married. You're still learning how to be honest and tell them what you want. And we didn't get into that whole counseling part of it until way, way after until our kids were already born, mm-hmm. and until we had already done some parenting. And I just, I think it would be smart to normalize like some checkups, even though you don't want to, because isn't there still that kind of stigma that when you're first married, like you're supposed to be happy as hell, like really, really happy. And so you'd be afraid to show any chinks in the armor because, oh, that's just going to fester and get worse. I think that's where my mindset was when I first got married.
I love that answer. I'm going to steal that answer.
Take it.
Because I thought that because we were so gushy in love, and then when we moved in together, and it wasn't hard for any particular reason. It wasn't that you changed or I changed. It was the merging of the crap. We lived
physical,
we
also, and mental and emotional and everything.
Yeah, and then we lived in New York City, and you had a job that had some more flexibility and free time. I had a job that I was basically on call on an airplane, and you're also a huge extrovert. So when I got, I had a crazy work week and I just wanted to hibernate. You wanted to go out. So there was like all those introvert, extrovert things that we could have worked through with, we could have had better language to work through. I don't even think we had those words in that language. I think a therapist would have really helped us with.
Yeah.
And we could have just fast forwarded through that.
I'm glad we did it now, but it should just be normalized. Like it should, like a learner's permit.
Right.
Like you just need like a little bit of guidance for that first year. Not that like we should be doing marriage with someone else in the car with us, but just to have some restricted freedoms when it comes to like living and like have someone who can help guide you through that.
I have to say, because Lola has her restricted, like her learner's, what do they call it here? It's a learner's permit.
That's what it was when I was growing up. I don't know if that's still what it's called.
Yeah. Well, because I called it her restricted license or something like that. Because I thought that's what they call it in Florida. And they're like, she's 16. I think, I don't know. She has her learner's permit. And she's doing a very good job. She's a much better driver than I was when she was 15. But the amount of time that you have to spend behind the wheel to learn this very important thing, I think it's appropriate. But the amount of endeavors we're allowed to launch into without that sort of training in our lives is insane. We should not be able to get married. People should not be able to get married. Or, I mean, whatever. But I think that there just needs to be more education about all this stuff. I love your answer. Okay. We got about 15 questions about what did you do with your amazing race winnings? Boo, boo, boo. Any fun purchases? What did you splurge on?
Oh my gosh.
Can I detail?
Yeah.
Can I detail? Okay. Yeah. It took a minute and some emails, we finally got paid. And it was so much fun. And we raced to the bank. It was so much fun that Penn ripped open the envelope and he ripped the check in half.
Yeah.
And we taped it together.
Yep.
Went to the bank. They took it, called accountants right away. And I'll just tell you the numbers, folks. Almost half, they're estimating.
447,000.
77. 477,000.
Okay. Sorry.
$477,000, they're estimating, because it's an estimate, are for taxes. So that goes away. And we cut a big old check there. And it felt like I got kicked in the stomach.
Yeah. And just so you know, people, you're not necessarily going to get 47% of tax on whatever you make, but when you get into that new bracket, you don't have a choice.
Oh, it put us up into a whole new bracket.
You get in a new bracket and it gets a little tougher.
Yeah, big old bracket. And then we had made the decision to share about, I think if we're doing the math on it, it's like 35% of it we're sharing with people, close to 40%. We're sharing with people and organizations that we love. So people we love, organizations we love, that we're in the middle of paying. And it's one of those things where if organizations want to share that we've given them money, that's cool. But I just feel weird about saying, hey, we just donated $25,000 here. We are going to probably, I've been clearing a lot of teachers' lists on Amazon. I've given myself a budget for that. And then Penn and I each, so we picked people and organizations, and then we gave ourselves each $25,000 to give to our personal charities. And so I've been clearing a lot of teachers' lists.
I didn't know that was part of what you're doing with yours. That's really cool.
Yeah. And hopefully we can, and we're trying to put a blog resource together so more people can, cause that money's going to like, that's going to run. And I also, I'm giving stuff to additional to some of the other organizations we're supporting. So, and then we made a promise to our kids that we would give them money. So we put money in their college savings account.
Yep.
Ironically, probably not enough to cover all of college. So we took the stuff we're donating.
We took a chunk out of it, though. I think we got them a couple semesters.
No, totally. So we feel
depends
very
on what
lucky.
College.
Yeah. So we each gave them an equal amount. So most of the money went to charity and people. Some amount went to probably 20% went to the kids.
Yep.
Yep. And then at the end of the day, our accountant gave us what we have left to splurge. Do you guys want to take a guess how much we have left to splurge after the donations in our kids' college? So 40%,
and the amount that we gave to other people.
So 40, we're giving away, donating, most of it. We have $9,000 left. But it's $9,000.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my gosh. I'm like, but you guys, $9,000 is a lot of money.
It is 1/110th. Of $1 million.
But I have to remind myself have been able to really, really impact our kids' college savings to the point where I would say by the time they got to school with their, they could do an in-state school and it would be covered, which is huge.
So yeah, we're not complaining about the 9,000. I guess the point is,
it's not a million.
Well, this is just not going to be like a boat. Or there's no new car. I bought some Vans on clearance for $30, and I can't be happier about these Vans.
Well, and I just, I was at the gas station the other day, and I was like, you guys, the gas prices are still shocking to me. That's like how little this money has changed our life.
Yeah.
So I was at the gas station, and this really sweet guy, total stranger, he's like, hey, with these gas prices, can I have some of that $1 million? I'm like, I want some of that $1 million. And so it is not lost on me that $9,000 is still a lot of money. And there was definitely times in my life that, my first 2 years working, I made $13,000.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I mean,
that's what it is.
It's less than 1% of $1 million. And we are coming right back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So people are asking what you splurged on. So you got Vans.
I got Vans. Well, we also gave our we got our kids laptops. Like,
yes.
good laptops. Like they yes. both, Lola's really into art. PC wants to be a gamer/editor. He wants to do that. And so we're supporting them with that. My parents did the same thing. They did not have a lot of money, and but they knew I like keyboards. So they bought me a fancy synthesizer, and so we did that.
That's true. And so, you know, I blame that on Mo, who was in from Team Mike and Mo at the Amazing Race finale. He walked up to the kids and he goes, "What are you getting?" And they're like,
"Oh, that's
what?"
Right.
And he goes, "No, you get something. Like, your parents just won the Amazing Race. You get something." And like, they both looked at us. They're like, "We get something?" I'm like, "Well, you get college savings." So I was like, "No, he says we get something."
I think Bo's right.
No, yeah.
Bo's so right. They had to live without us for two pretty long stretches. So
yeah.
What was your splurge? I've seen some boxes coming in lately.
Those are just normal boxes. That's like that's like groceries and stuff. I went to see Raquel, Sweet Raquel, the Purple Team in the Amazing Race. So I flew to Chicago. I haven't really splurged.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we need to splurge. I don't know.
Okay. So on that note, if we are to splurge, someone asked what our favorite vacation spot was. I'm going to allow you the ability to answer that question of something you haven't even been to. It could be a theoretical spot if you wanted to, or it can be a place you have been to.
So somebody asked a favorite vacation spot.
Yep.
You know how if you have Google Photos, it kind of serves you 5 years ago, 6 years ago, some number of years ago, 6 years ago maybe, we were in Hawaii on vacation. We took 2 weeks, and I had never taken a two-week vacation in my entire life, and I don't think I still have. And we went to Kauai and Maui, and that was my favorite. But also, next PC has decided, and maybe this is our splurge, maybe that some of that money we got can be used for this. PC has decided he wants to go to Italy next summer because he wants to eat pasta 5 times a day. So I think next summer we're going to take the kids to France and Italy. So I'm going to say that's going to be my favorite too.
Nice.
What about you?
Well, you took Hawaii. That would be my first. If I can go at least once a year to Colorado, I grew up having tiny little mountains in North Carolina. And like a place like Telluride is probably my favorite place to go. Especially once you get to, it's like a great way to enjoy some exercise and also like great food and just breathtaking views all sort of at the same time.
Although the last time we went to Colorado, we went to visit our friend Taylor Kalamazoo's dad, and you farted the whole time.
Right. No, there's definitely, that's going to happen.
There's like an altitude thing that happens like on your bowels.
That happened mainly in one day. There was one morning where it just was all revolting against me. And I think, and they're the altitudes, right? That's what one of our
altitudes.
One of our friends called it an altitude. It's a reset for me. It's like I can't go to space, but it's like being on another planet. When you get to the top of that mountain on Telluride, like on like the Prospect Lift, and you look around and you're literally at the ceiling of seemingly the ceiling of the world. I would imagine like there's probably some place in the Alps that would give me that same feeling, but I've never been there. So I'm going to say Telluride.
I love that. And so somebody asked, and I don't even know if I have it on here, is that given that your love for Colorado, somebody asked, are you happy living in North Carolina, or do you have, this is WB Mummy 5. Are you happy living in North Carolina, or do you have plans to move? Like, would you move to Colorado?
No, I did live there for 2 years and I was surrounded by those beautiful mountains, and that's perfect for like a week. And after that, and you have the same problem, Kim. I was raised near an ocean, and I get like feeling landlocked is a real feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You felt that way, right? Just like
yeah.
not like needing a giant body of water with waves somewhere close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're pretty close to the beach here, and that's really nice.
Not close enough.
Right. I think if we do move, two things are going to have to happen. Our kids are going to have to be on board, and they've got friends. They've got a pretty good situation here. And then the other thing is it's going to have to be even closer to the ocean than we are right now. Right.
Right. I think most likely what would happen is our kids go to college and then we
bail,
find a place near a beach or something, or we become those people that like split time, like a snowbird of some sort would be lovely. But then you have to be able to afford that. So we'd have to enter another reality show of some sort. And there's another question, and I'm trying to figure out who asked this. Would you ever be on another reality show?
I mean, we always said that The Amazing Race was kind of the only one that we would do because it wasn't like super back talky. What's the right term for it?
Yeah, backstabby.
Yeah, it wasn't very backstabby. It was like very positive. I think that Bertram like really did a good job like making that sort of the core of the show, and it showed, I think, when we were there. What about you? Like, I can't imagine you wanting to be on another reality show.
No.
So hard no? Oh, I'd be on Family Feud.
Oh.
Is that that's a game show.
It's a game show.
Yeah, I would go on, that's the one
place
I'd go on.
Maybe like Dancing with the Stars like that.
If there was a reality.
But I'm not an actual star. If they had Dancing with Internet People, maybe that.
If there was a reality show that put me in outer space, I would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel_Lunchbox wants to know, how's Kim Hunt for Hobbies going? So I had announced, you guys, that I was on the hunt for a hobby.
That's right.
And then I needed a hobby and I needed to get a life. And I think our lovely, the women who work with us were so excited by this because I was going to share. My goal was to like share and do a blog series or something about all the hobbies I was going to acquire. And to the point where we asked for suggestions and you guys filled the inbox with so many suggestions of hobbies. Love them all. And I've just not, I'm not going to say I don't have the time.
It's too much, Pen.
Too much. I'm not going to say I don't have the time because I think it's, if I really was inspired to do it, I would make the time. But right now I feel like, oh my gosh, we're in that season of life that I'm not going to wish away, but I feel like we're driving hours a day with our children places to the point where I get home. And I'm so tired that the idea of trying something new, I can't. But then I don't know when a good time is going to be to do that. But it's not going well. But thank you for asking because yeah. I keep on me, guys. Like, I do want to do this.
True or false, summers for you are more exhausting than the school year.
100%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this just wasn't the time to do that.
No, you're right. And I have to cut myself some slack there because I do think parenting in the summer and being a working parent in the summer is infinitely harder than when school starts.
Yeah. And our kids have actually found some sort of new adventures that they've wanted to follow that have required more travel and more time. And I was feeling very... at one point just exhausted just like you and thinking, man, no one else is doing this for their kids. And I got a text from my buddy Adam, who lives in Chapel Hill, who has been in Alabama for 3 weeks back and forth for travel baseball.
Oh,
and his kid is a pitcher, which means they pitchers don't pitch every day. So most of the time they're out there and he's just sitting in the dugout. Like baseball, if you're a baseball pitcher,
yeah.
Like every 3 days you pitch.
I hate to say that I didn't expose my kids to certain sports because of the schedule, but I'll say I didn't expose my kids to certain sports because of the schedule. Swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like I heard stories about 5 a.m. practice, like twice a day practices.
Yep.
And then baseball seems... incredibly time consuming and expensive. And we just said, like, your kid's not always playing.
Right.
And then soccer is a beautiful sport and I love it. But I feel is it specific to our area or is it everything?
No, soccer is everywhere.
But I feel like in our area, it is so competitive that unless you start when you're age 8 and on a travel team at age 8, you cannot participate in middle school. Like, you can't even make a middle school team unless you've been on a travel team.
For sure. Everybody who tries out, it seems like, has had some other type of coaching or training, at least where we are. And by the way, I just want to give like a round of applause to, because I know we're not the only parents doing this. Like,
if you guys are doing great.
And I've actually really gotten to know and love some of the other parents who are doing this, because you have to admire them as well.
Yeah.
Some of them, like, honestly, their schedules are more challenging than ours and they're still making it happen.
I want to say also, I go on a little rant to anybody who will listen about the scam of youth sports.
People will listen to you. This is your platform. Go. Rant.
Step on the soapbox and then I'm going to get off.
Okay.
When I was a kid. No, but seriously, when we were kids and I went to a school in Florida. So Florida, you worship at the altar of football in high school. I mean, our town, literally people who didn't go to the school would come to football games, right? And a lot of those guys who played football who were so talented got Division I scholarships. They also were on the basketball team. And they also ran track and field. Like, they did the seasonal sport thing. And
because when you're a good athlete, you're a good athlete.
You're a good athlete at everything. And so, and then they probably went to the YMCA camps over the summer and they played basketball and football over the summer with their friends and stuff like that. But this, and we're participating in it, by the way, because, so for example, PC played soccer when he was, 4 or 5?
Yep.
It's like really impossibly cute because it's just like herding kittens and you're just laughing the whole time. And then he wanted to try flag football and then he wanted to try tennis and then he wanted to, and so we did the thing that you do like that he comes up with an idea and we just say he took dance, we did everything. And then he stuck to tennis for a while, didn't like that. And so when he was probably 10, so this is as the pandemic is starting, and, you know, soccer is one of the only things that's being played. And as a 10-year-old, there was not a team he could join
that would even allow him to go.
Because, yeah. He would try out. So that's not true. He could try out, but they take how many kids? And 60 kids come. I'm like, and so I talked to several different friends, and they're like, oh, he could do this league, but like, there wasn't an option for just the kid who just wanted to casually try it. So, you know, at that point, he just hung out for a bit, and then he's recently picked up basketball, which he's super into. But even basketball, you can't make a middle school team unless you've been on a travel AAU team since the second grade. And you can't get on the AAU team unless you've been on it before. And I just think if we could all just chill out, by the way, we participate in all of this, but if we could all just chill out and let our kids play, like, just, I don't know, it's so much. And I do, for what, you guys, they're not all of them are getting D1 scholarships, so
that's correct,
like it should be for fun. And I think I'm saying we as in like me too have taken a lot of the fun out of it, because like if you want to make a middle school team, buddy, you gotta be out in the driveway shooting baskets. I'm like, no. So anyway, that's my, I think youth sports can be a scam, and there you go.
Okay.
Living on.
I think there's some truth to that, to everything you said. I do think that a lot of it comes from organizations and comes from profit.
Right.
So that, I mean, they know that there are parents out there who have kids, you have dreams, and the parents want to encourage and nurture those dreams. Right.
Absolutely.
And so there's a crazy demand that you can supply several different options in places, but the dream is only available for, as you said, such a select few people, if that's really what their dream is, which is why I believe that all dreams for children should be fluid. Yes. I love a good fluid dream. Like, yes. Like you can't just say, I want to play in the NBA. I think like kids should be like, it'd be really cool to like play in the NBA, but also to like play basketball in my space. Driveway this afternoon. Yeah. Or to be a good artist. Like I know you like setting goals, but I like my dreams for my children to be fluid, and I like my dreams to be fluid.
Me too.
Like we have those like business meetings that everybody has where they like talk about
business. Wait, you just said business.
Like meetings. Where they want to set like earnings for the quarter. I'm like, let's just see what happens, which is horrible business behavior, ethics, business. I don't know what
don't
I'm talking
know
about.
Words.
But I'm a big fan of the fluid dream, the moving goalpost.
The moving goalpost. Yeah. But I, you know, because there was like 70 kids who tried out for middle school basketball, and he made a team. He made like the sixth grade team. But then I learned everybody who made the varsity team has like a private shooting coach. I'm like, oh crap, we need a shooting coach. Like all of these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, can we chill out? But no, but now we're doing it all.
Yep.
Because I want him
to. We're doing all of the things you're talking about.
Yep. So I'm doing all the things, and I'm just, in a way, that is the moments I miss about the pandemic. Very few, but it is how simple life was.
Right.
Because everything unplugged. You couldn't do any of that stuff.
Right. It's a circular argument, right? You were saying you don't like these things are awful. You don't want to do them. But then you look at your kid's dream and your kid says, I want to play college basketball. Well, here's what you got to do if you want to play college basketball. Right. Now. Wow. Okay. Should we move on? Like, do we have time for a few more? We have like a lightning round at the end that we're going to do. Are we there?
No.
Okay.
Do you have, okay, first of all, somebody asked a question that my self-help stuff, my self-help self, the person who's always into self-help.
Okay.
It felt like I kind of, it rocked me.
Okay. But what's
if you listed all the things you love, how long before you named yourself?
Whoa.
Right?
That's like the Dalai Lama wrote that or something. So I say Lama. How about a little something for the, you know, the effort?
What was that?
Caddyshack. Don't worry about it.
Okay, sorry. How long before you listed yourself? I would say, I would list probably 1,000 things before I even thought, oh yeah, myself.
I've got 5.
Before yourself?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I loves me some me. Are you kidding me?
You do?
I really do.
But if I had not mentioned that and I just said, hey, Penn, list a thing, name things you love.
You, Lola, Penn Charles, my dog, tennis, myself.
You would not have put yourself on the list if I didn't ask the question like that.
I don't know. I think I might. Like, listen, I think it's important that you love yourself. I really do. And that's not to say, even though I love myself, I think I would, like, my friends from college, I think if there was a train coming and we were both standing there, I love them so much that I would push them out of the way and I would get hit by the train. If there wasn't the option that we could both just safely get out of the way.
There's a few of them I would.
No. I jump in front of a train for all of them. Every single one of them. I love every single one of them. And so, that doesn't mean, like, I do really, like, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, nice work, dude. I'm sorry. Like, I just do. I think,
love that.
I think my parents instilled that in me and I think you've instilled that in me and my kids have reaffirmed that. Like, I think I'm, and I think if you don't feel that way, stuff can get dark sometimes. It doesn't mean I don't get mad at myself sometimes. I get mad at myself all the time.
I have to say that is we are so just wired completely different on that. And it's neutral. It's not good or bad.
Yeah.
And I look in the mirror and I'm not, I think for a while I was trying to channel the like body positivity and I've discovered that doesn't really work for me. So I'm going for like neutrality. So it's not good or bad. It is what it is. So I'm trying not to shame myself and how I feel about myself physically, emotionally. I do feel a little bit of, like, I'm embarrassed isn't the right word. I feel aware that I am not always emotionally, I don't feel confident that I can handle every situation. Although I have always handled every situation. There's evidence to support that I can handle myself in high pressure situations, that I can perform well under pressure, that I can take risks
over and over again. Better than 99.9% of
every,
the people on the planet.
Every bit of evidence suggests that I can handle any situation that's thrown at me. I don't have confidence in myself to be able to handle
it. That's a bit of a left turn.
So therefore, when I'm thinking about myself, I am not, I don't make my list of things I love, which is something I should work on. I hate that word. Something I'd like to work on is valuing, like having a little more confidence in that.
Well, let me ask you this. You take very good care of yourself.
I do.
You eat right. You make it a point to try to get sleep. Obviously exercise like a ton, go for walks, you know, have a lot of
my mental health and my physical health are a priority. Yeah.
You have a lot of different skincare methods that you,
I mean, but look at my,
you're
skin.
Beautiful. Yeah. You're objectively and subjectively beautiful. So this is all the behavior of someone who cares about themselves,
right,
which is a component of love. Right, of like wanting
desire.
Happiness and success for, like, what, that's the definition of love, right? Like wanting, if you're loving a person, it's like wanting their happiness. And I want the happiness of my immediate family so bad that it aches inside me, but I also really want myself to be happy.
It's so funny that I don't know if I define love like that, and I think the way I care for myself, it's almost as I do it so that I feel better tomorrow. I take care of myself today because I know if I drank a lot or I ate like crap, I would feel bad tomorrow.
So is it out of fear?
It's a more fear-based.
Okay.
Than as I do it more out of fear than reward.
Yeah, I hear you.
And there's a lot to unpack.
That's very different. That's very different for me. And you know what? It's so funny. We've danced around this issue, right? We have, it's, and it doesn't, we don't get in fights about it, but it's, the way our philosophy about living life, I think, is a little different in that sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fear anything. I might fear it, but I really don't want to. So I make it a point to try not to. If it weren't for you, and I was talking to Taylor about this last week, I'm like, if that went unchecked, I would be in horrible shape right now. And I would be on the way to
Taylor who? Pope?
Yeah. He's like our guru, mm-hmm. our training guru. If I just let it be unchecked and I wasn't afraid of anything and I just lived life exactly how I wanted to, I would be on the way to my dad's kind of third trimester of life, where I wasn't in good shape and probably like lifestyle choices would lead to like dementia, because it happens. Mm-hmm. Like Alzheimer's is a metabolic disease more than a hereditary disease, and we are 100% locked in on that. Mm-hmm. Not that heredity doesn't have something to do with it, but I think we both need each other in that sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to give me a little bit of fear and boundary, or else I'm just going to go off the rails. And maybe you need me occasionally to say, you got this. There's nothing to be scared of. You know, let's go. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. And it's so funny, because it's not like I use the word fear, but maybe that's not right.
Well, the way you described it.
Yeah. No, I know. I think I need better language around that, and better, like, and I need to name that emotion more accurately, because I've done scary things.
I know.
I've done hard things.
And you've done them because, you know what? You've done those things because you've had to, right? In a lot of situations, yeah. Like where you've had to, where you've needed to.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And, but I don't know. But that was a really...
this is a good question.
It was a great question. Yeah. I actually put it up top because I wanted to start with that, but then it didn't get a bullet, and so it kind of got lost in there. But that is actually... It was one of my favorite questions.
Nice. Well, we've gotten through a lot of these, and isn't it interesting how just reading people's questions lead us into some pretty good conversations about ourselves and about what means... what our sensibilities are and what our priorities are. And we learn a little bit about each other that way. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to end with lightning round?
I would love to end. You want to ask?
Yeah. Well, we'll do, I'll do mine and then you do yours. It's going to be like Family Feud. Like Fast Money Round.
So by the way, we have a friend, Melanie.
Oh, when is that?
I don't know. I hope she reminds us, but she and her family just went on.
And is it like her sisters, her hot sisters? That's going to be amazing.
They're a very attractive family.
And her hot mom. Like, her entire family is really good looking.
Yeah.
So that's going to be good. are her hot kids going to be on it?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Everybody. Sorry. I wonder why they got cast. Melanie was my work wife for about a decade. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Melanie. Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Top 10 answers are on the board. You got 20 seconds. Here we go. What is your favorite film?
Singing in the Rain.
Favorite TV show?
I don't know.
You want to say pass?
The Good Place.
Great. Favorite video you've ever made?
Ooh, I love the Gen X summer one we just put out.
Wasn't that fun?
That was so much fun.
It was fun, especially because me and you had just a us shoot day where we just did crazy stuff.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Okay, favorite weekend activity?
Napping.
Yes. Favorite vacation spot?
We answered that.
Yep. Favorite meat to make at home?
Meat.
Oh, that says meal. Sorry, my vision is, I've got presbyopia, you guys, so I can't, and I also like to use that word at least once a week.
Oh my gosh. I actually asked Penn, I was like, has there been a week since you've learned the word presbyopia that you haven't said presbyopia? And no.
I think I said no. I've been making it a point to try to say it once a week just to annoy you.
I love the ground pork, like lettuce wraps.
We haven't made those in a while. Glad you said that. Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
Yeah. Favorite book? There's so many.
I love to read. Nightingale was a good one.
Okay. Oh, wow.
God, there's been a couple books I've read twice. Anyway, we'll go with that.
Favorite 90s movie?
Mm.
90s.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
That's 80s.
Ooh.
90s is like Jurassic Park, Usual Suspects, a lot of the Miramax ones. Like the a lot of the New Line Cinema ones.
Well, because I know Fiction. Dirty Dancing was like 87, 88.
Would you like to option that into
I'd
the
like
90s?
I'd like to option that into, I'm going to say Dirty Dancing. It was like 1989. It came on HBO.
Okay, so. Dirty Dancing. Very good. Favorite game to play as a family?
Family Face-Off / Family Showdown. Guys, we are reimagining our board game Family Showdown. Have to change the name because... I'm going to bleep it out because a bleeping bleep, 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 bleep. It'll be called Family Face-Off, we think. So stay tuned for that.
By the way, you did great. Dirty Dancing was made in 1987.
Yes, and it came on like HBO 1989. And like I begged my parents to get HBO so that I could see it. And I watched it 100 times. And I filled out the paperwork to be part of the Dirty Dancing 100 Club because I'd seen it 100 times. And I got a T-shirt. For being part of the Dirty Dancing.
I did not know that about you.
Really?
Yeah.
There's an entire summer where I just like watched it, rewound it, watched it, rewound it, watched it, rewound
so
it. I recorded it off of HBO and I just played it over and over again.
My sister neighbor, Ashley, I think watched it 100 times too.
Yeah.
It was her favorite movie by far. She had a huge picture of Jennifer Grey and like, good stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Let me ask you.
Yeah. Go.
Favorite film?
The Usual Suspects. Favorite TV? And but Kevin Spacey.
Ooh, cancel. Cancel, cancel.
I don't
but
think
you can still like the movie. It's allowed to happen.
Okay, I'll stick with it.
Okay, favorite TV show?
30 Rock.
Oh, yeah, 30 Rock's a good one. Favorite video you've made?
Libido Killer.
Oh, that was so fun.
Can I take a break and explain something to, about that? Someone asked us, actually, no, let's just keep moving.
Okay, because it's not lightning round.
Yeah.
Favorite weekend activity?
Tennis.
Favorite vacation spot? We already did that.
Yeah.
Favorite meal to make at home?
Your chicken Provençal, which you've taught me how to make.
Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles. What crazy person says pancakes?
I know.
There's
I think when you put a lot of things in pancakes, they taste good.
Yeah, but waffles have ridges that allow you to put anything you want to. Whipped cream, you know, butter. You can put chocolate. It just stays there and kind of like,
it's okay, honey.
Sorry.
Okay. I know. You're very passionate. Favorite book?
Tie between Project Hail Mary and Seven Eves.
Favorite 90s movie?
Usual Suspects. Wait, that was my favorite film. Let's go with Independence Day.
Oh, it's
like
good.
The cinematic experience of an Independence Day or Jurassic Park.
Favorite game to play as a family?
Family Face-Off. It's coming to your Amazon place of business in the fourth quarter of this year.
And the people were the amazing company we're partnering with, we're driving them crazy because we're like, hey, I know you're wanting to send this to the printers, but we would like to change everything about it. I know we said we liked the other one 2 weeks ago, but now we don't.
They are the nicest business people I've ever done business meetings with.
I know.
I don't know what to call these, obviously. They're like circle back alignment seminars, but they're business meetings.
Cool. No, but they are, and these are the makers of the game Watch a Mouth.
Which is the dental guard, mouth guard game.
Yeah, mouth guard game. Yeah. And so we're partnering with those guys. So obviously they're big time and they have a lot of experience in this and we are driving them bananas. So, but I'm excited about it. And we are, because we're kind of late to the retail, they're already making plans for retail for like 2 years from now. So we were obviously late to the game on getting into stores for this holiday season. So
that's
we're
going
to sell it kind of ourselves via Amazon this season. And then maybe we'll be into big retail stores next year.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay.
Good talk.
So we've got...
when Penn talks, like when he goes, sounds good. That's like him.
I'm ready to go.
He's ready to go.
Like if I'm sick of hearing myself talk, you're sick of hearing me talk. So I think we wrap this up and you could click on another podcast if you want to. It could be another one of ours. There's lots of good stuff in there.
Lots of good options. And you guys, thank you for your questions. We have a lot of good ones that we still will get to and we'll kind of work that into the rotation.
I just love, honestly, I just love hearing from peeps. I think that, and you know how like when you get to see someone you haven't seen in a long time, you get a good question thrown your way and it helps you connect with them. You guys threw some good questions our way and I feel like I'm connecting with you. So thank you.
And it's so funny. We have some new friends, a couple who we have enjoyed getting to know. And at some point Penn texted because both the male and the female in the relationship are very in touch with their emotions. And Penn, we were talking about like, you know,
we both lost passing. A parent. Yeah.
They both lost a parent at the same time. And they were able to like express it in a very they were able to feel emotions
via text, though, via like text. Really mature sounding, like.
And Penn's like, I feel like I need to start processing emotions. And yes, Penn. So, by the way, people did have asked. There were several questions asking how you're doing since your dad passed.
Thank you for asking. Kim and I just had this conversation downstairs, and I'll try to summarize it. I'm still grieving. I think about him every hour, but it doesn't really manifest itself other than I'm thinking about it, and then I move on to what my next thought is. The funeral was incredibly overwhelmingly sad and beautiful and all of those things, and like a perfect closure for me. I know that there's gonna be more grieving, and I am so grateful that people are asking me, because they've probably lost a parent, and that can go on for a long, long time. And what I said to Kim was, I started grieving the loss of him 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I started grieving because, and anyone who knows him will tell you, he hadn't been the same guy since his brain went away. You know, that's what happens in the lives of our loved ones now. They're staying alive, but their brain's not functioning. And you can love them, and you can be around them, and you can find those beautiful moments and even those moments of clarity, but you start grieving mm-hmm. way ahead of time. So when that happens, there's some relief.
Yeah.
And so if you're looking at me and saying, boy, you seem kind of happy right now for someone whose dad just died, I'm not. But I'm also relieved. Like, I was relieved when it happened. It was like a weight was lifted in the room, not from me necessarily, even from him. He didn't want to be around.
No.
He didn't want to be around those last 3 years. He asked me to help him die several times.
Yeah, and he asked his brother many times to, like, help him end it. And it's so, you know, this person is not wanting to be there. So
yeah,
for them. Yeah.
So I think two things can be true mm-hmm. in a situation like that. You can miss the dickens out of him and tell anyone who asks that he was the greatest father that anyone could ever have. And you can be glad.
Yeah.
That he's at peace and that he's not in pain and that he got his wish that he's had for probably longer than 4 years, which is just to be done with it.
Yeah.
Ugh. So that whole thing, like, I've got to say that out. Like, part of the grieving process is I got to say that out loud and not be ashamed of it, right?
No, and I think it's really impactful, and I'm glad you shared it, because I think that you're not alone. I think people quietly, when a loved one, it is so rare for somebody to pass peacefully with no symptoms. Like, that just is not a thing that happens, you know?
Reminded me of Stranger Things.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, we're talking about your dead dad, so we're going to get back to that. But we're very late to watching Stranger Things.
Kim refuses.
And I can't watch it. And so I cover my eyes and I'm like, just tell me what's happening. And there was a scene where one of the guys is being like ripped apart by aliens.
Four of them.
And he's like, I don't want to give any spoilers, although it happened, you know, early on. He's like, okay, well, he has passed away peacefully, surrounded by his family and friends. And I can hear on the screen, like, like, oh my God, stop it. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't happen. Like, you don't like, it's so rare. So much of the dying process is just pure agony.
Yeah.
And despair.
Yeah.
And so much of it is, I mean, we had another loved one pass recently. It was a true tragedy. And mm-hmm. that was
before its time.
Way before time, true tragedy. And like, that is so rare for that to happen. And that's a totally different, like, that funeral was so different. The weight of that felt different. So there's no relief there.
No.
That is true tragedy. But in your situation, yeah, there's some relief. Anywho, death.
Thank you. No, thank you. I saw a lot of those questions, and I'm just always so grateful that people care enough about me to ask. And that's very thoughtful to ask, and I'll always be happy to answer.
Yeah. We love you guys. Seriously. We feel really lucky that every single day that we get to be a part of this community. So thank you.
Can't wait to hear everyone's comments about youth sports. Is that going to be the most commented about thing, or is it going to be, what's it going to be?
But here's the thing. I rant against it, but I participate in it.
Actively. 100%. You're ranting against yourself right now.
I know. And it's a problem. Yeah. But I feel like if I take myself out and I take my kids out of it, then they're not going to make the teams and then they're sad and I can't have my kids experience discomfort. No, that cannot happen. My kids must experience joy at all times.
And success.
And success. And learn hard work and perseverance and resilience, but I must pave the way for them.
And be in the highest percentile.
God, we're terrible.
Now I'm the guy from South Park. Okay, bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.